Arms out to your mum's house. 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 Arms out to your mum's house.
Easy now. Party people in the place. Welcome to episode 3 of Arms. Arms house to your mum's house.
Arms house to your mum's house.
I am Amber.
This is my man. Name is Theme.
Themos in the
what's
place.
What's up, everybody?
Easy, easy. Yeah, I just want to say thank you to everyone who's checked in so far, who's watched the first couple of episodes, who's left a little rating for us, a little like, a little subscribe. You know what I mean? It's all welcome. Please leave a comment as well if you're watching this on YouTube. You know, let us know what you think of the podcast, what you want us to talk about, or anything like that. You know what I mean? And if you haven't noticed, the first two podcasts, they were actually recorded a while ago, maybe about 4 months ago, 5 months ago.
Yeah, how long? Something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Something like that. So we've got another 3 in the stash, but I thought I don't want to release any more old ones. So this is a new one. Today is the 17th of November, 2022. Excuse me, man. And
yeah. Crimbo, man.
So we got 3 in the stash. So if for any chance me and Theme can't link up for a podcast, we have 3 emergency ones that we could release, so we can make sure we release a new episode every Wednesday. Okay, so big up for that, man. All right, so just briefly as well, I want to say, like, usually we have we either listen to music and review music and talk about songs from our past or songs that we love or songs that had an effect on us. Andy here, he's a budding stand-up comedian, you know, he's always working on stuff. So we've got like the Themes rant section where he like lets off a bit of steam, you know what I mean? I've got my section, my favorite conspiracy theories. Like, you know, I've always kind of been into conspiracy theories. Andy, you familiar with a hip hop crew called Nonfiction?
Yes.
Yeah, with Ill Bill and Sabak Red, and ever since I was listening to them,
they're pretty big.
Yeah, they're pretty big, but they're relatively underground though. But they were always rapping about conspiracy theories and stuff. So I've always been into them from a long time ago. But obviously, in the past couple of years, it's ramped up the amount of conspiracies out there. So I might have a little chat about that, and then we also have a section, the Wackest Writer of the Week. We didn't do it on episode 2, but maybe we'll bring it back for this one. I don't know. But anyway, in the past couple of months, man, how you been, Andy, man? What's been going on, man? You got married. You got fucking married. Yo!
Married, baby. Got married in Spain. You came, obviously. It was sick. It fucking, everyone got on so well.
Oh, mate.
We had like a huge group of Latinas.
Yeah.
From Venezuela and Colombia. And then we had like the English army that came out. Man, yes. It was sick. The best thing was everyone got on really well, man.
It was amazing, the atmosphere, the people. Yeah, Andrea, your beautiful wife, her family is so cool. And a lot of them, like, there was a language barrier, but it didn't matter. Everyone was just on a good vibe, and we were communicating perfectly.
The language
fine.
Of booze and big culos and sex
and
on the
love.
Beach and love.
Love.
But I'm so pleased the way everyone got on.
It was really beautiful as well. It was in Torremolinos in the south of Spain. And we just went inland up the mountains a bit. You'd rented a big villa type thing. And it was so beautiful, man. And the ceremony was gorgeous. And the views from up there, it was so hot as well. And them South American girls, man, they don't ramp. They don't mess around, man.
That's the best thing about them, because I'm like a bit, everyone says I'm a way loud and too crazy and energetic and stuff like that. And when I met them, like, their whole family's fucking loud and crazy.
You're the quiet one.
I'm nowhere near. I'm like mid-level, you know what I mean? Mm. For the first time, I'm like, oh, we can always hear you shouting. We can always hear you. You're always fucking, how come this? And now, bam, I'm like in the middle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Her mom's louder than me. Her aunties, everyone, man, is sick. It's sick.
Yeah, some proper characters.
A really good position. It was in Malaga. We stayed in Torremolinos.
Yeah.
But it was in Malaga, like you said, up the mountain.
Ah, okay, yeah.
We had no air conditioning. And it was like 30 degrees at like 9:30 at night, right? 9:30, 10.
Yeah.
Everyone shacking outside. We had DJ, we had speakers. They did like all the Latin dancing and stuff. It was sick.
Yeah.
But the main problem was, like, there wasn't even any fans in the bedroom.
It was crazy hot in there, man. It was crazy.
July the 30th in Malaga.
And I can't remember who it was. One of the bridesmaids was walking around with, like, and just dabbing everyone's tongue with MDMA and just going, it's a love drug. It's a love drug. And I'm like, the whole family's here. Like, they didn't give a fuck. They were just like, yeah, give a shit, everyone was buzzing by the end, man.
Buzzing.
And who was that big tall? Free bar. Everyone was, oh man, it was crazy. Who was that tall basketball dude?
Fernando. He is like 6'8", 6'9". Used to play basketball for like Venezuela.
Oh wow, okay.
So yeah. I can't remember the girl's name now. Sueli from Brazil.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend, really small geezer.
He was a joker. He was a joker.
Fernando picking him up and dashing him around and shit, man. It was so joke. We got photos of that, like him picking him up and throwing him about.
Oh,
but
it was
the atmosphere,
so funny.
Do you know what? It was like semi-blagged as well, because English people, like, they got to plan this, they plan this, they plan this. And we just thought, fuck it, we'll get the venue, we'll invite the peeps. Obviously, we'll organize like the beers and the bar and stuff.
Yeah.
But the music. But I just knew that the group of my friends that were coming out, and I just knew that those, the Latin lot, that I know it's going to be a party. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't have any qualms or any like, oh no, is everyone going to do this? Gonna be like, fuck all that English shit. We're just like, bam, party, done.
Everyone had such a great time, and yeah, just smiles on everyone's faces. And like I said, the bridesmaids, man, the single ones at least, they were like, they did not hold back, man. What's the word? Like, they, not aggressive, but they were like, you gringo, you sleep with me tonight.
It was so sick. Oh my God.
Not
man.
To go into too much detail.
We can't go into too much detail. I think some of the guys have got girlfriends back at home. Women, they don't give a shit about that. They're like, shut up, gringo.
Nah, there was one guy, the English guy, he had a girl back home, and there was a girl on his case. Like hot, but he, like, props to him. He steadfast was like, nah, and Latin women, they do not like the word no, you know.
Yeah, which made her even more like fire and aggressive.
She couldn't believe it.
She's from Colombia.
She was like, how, in Spanish, she was like, how could you say no to this? Oh my God. And like, she was getting really fucking angry about it.
I tell everyone who's listening, we go into like, this girl is getting really vexed because my friends like say, no, I'm really sorry. But he's dancing with her, he's having a party and everything.
Of course.
He's a fucking brilliant guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, he goes upstairs to go for a piss, and this chick comes out, follows him, he doesn't know, goes into one of the bedrooms, and she strips completely naked. This woman is hot. Like, there's no two ways about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's completely naked when he comes out the bathroom. This is how this lot go on, man.
I couldn't believe it when I heard the story. I couldn't believe it. But yeah,
and he's proper Cockney, and apparently, like, the rumor is he just said, looked her up and down.
So she come out naked. No, wait. Say that again. But like, she went in because she knew that he was gonna go in to get his coat because he was about to get a cab home to this hotel. And so he went in, and she just pounced out on him butt naked. And she was like, how can you say no to this? And then he just, what did he do? He looked her up and down.
Looks up and down. He's like, put some fucking clothes on, love. She was so fuming. I've never seen. She was crying and shit. She was fuming for the rest of the night.
I saw the aftermath.
6:37 in the morning, she was still fuming about it.
Oh my God.
How could your puto gringo friend say no to me? I don't understand. What's his problem? Am I no good? I'm like, no, you're good. You're good. Chill out, man. I'm
Oh man. But she was a really lovely girl. Yeah. Really lovely girl.
She's having a birthday party. She's rented like a castle or some shit she actually lives in Switzerland. So she's gonna have a party out there.
I'm up for it. Let's
be going. Andrea's going, you know what I mean?
Of course, man. Yo, I'm up for it. I'm up for it, no doubt, man. And so you've had your lovely wedding, man. Congrats on that. And I've been working abroad. I've been to Essen, Germany. I've been to Paris. And I went to Vienna.
Vienna. Tell us what happened in Vienna, man.
Beautiful city. I love Vienna. I've been there a couple of times before. I love that place. On my last day, so I was there working. I was there for like almost a week. And on my last day, my flight wasn't till 9 p.m. at night. So I had the whole day to chill. So I was like, you know what? Let me go get some paint, go record shopping and then get some paint and then drop a little piece. Because in Vienna, to my surprise, I didn't realize they have government sanctioned graffiti halls of fame around the city.
Really?
There's like
you
four.
You did a bit of graff, didn't you?
Yes. So I looked it up and I was like, oh shit. So these are proper legal spots like around, like, you know, like official legal spots. And I was like, okay, because it was during the day, I wasn't looking to do anything too bait, you know what I mean? So I thought I'll get a couple tins, drop a little thing. And there was a really great hall of fame by the river there, massive big wall covered in graff. It was insane. So I was like, okay, I looked it up, the Montana shop from my hotel. I was like, oh, okay, it's not too far. They have those Lime scooters. Yeah? You know those little Lime scooters. Yeah, so boom, I got a Lime scooter. It's going to take me 10 minutes to get there. So boom, I literally this is what happened to me. Yeah? Come out the hotel, saw a Lime scooter, booked it, went round three corners. Yeah? And then there was like a big roundabout bit. Yeah? And I was like, oh, okay. Cool. I was just zinging. It was empty. There was no cars, no people, no nothing. Yeah. I swear to you. Yeah. And I zing up and then there's a little bridge bit just after the roundabout and there's three policemen there. Yeah. And fully uniformed, guns, everything. And they're waving me down, going, hey, wave, like stopping me. And I was like just driving, about to drive past them. And they were like, hey, stop. And I was like looking behind me, going, who are they waving back?
Hi, guys.
Yeah. No, I waved back and I was like, me? And they were like, yeah, you, stop. And so I, in German or whatever, like German. So I stopped and I was like, hey, what's up? And they were like, hey, come here. And they started speaking to me in German. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm English. And so they started speaking in English, broken English. And they were like, do you have any ID on you? And I was like, yeah, I got ID. And so I pulled out my driving license. They looked at it and they were like, yeah, you jumped a red light. You got to pay 70 euros fine for jumping a red light. And I was like, what red light? I was like, it was a pedestrian red light to cross the road when I was going through past the
roundabout and you went through.
There was not a single car in sight. Yeah. But they have jaywalking laws out there. Basically, if it's a red light for pedestrians, it doesn't matter if there's no cars. If you cross on a red light, you get fined. Yeah.
It sounds harsh, an instant fine, like nothing.
But that's not even the worst part.
Especially for a tourist.
Yeah. And so I'm like going, oh, shit. Sorry, mate. I had no idea, man. I'm sorry about that. Like, you know, of course it won't happen again. I thought I'd just get a slap on the wrists, you know, like, don't do it again. Yeah. They were like, nah. They were like, you're going to have to pay a 70 euro fine now. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I just thought, okay, just write me up a ticket. I'm flying back tonight anyway. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know? So in my head, I'm like, I'm not going to pay. You know, I've got a million fines in Paris. I've got parking fines in Germany. You know what I mean? I've never paid them, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, just give me the fine. Yeah. And he was like, nah. He was like, when are you flying back? And I was like, I should have lied to him, but I don't think it would have made a difference because he knew I wasn't from there. And I said, oh, I'm flying tonight, thinking, look, I'm leaving your country tonight. Like, there's no way I could do this again.
Just let me off, man.
You know? I said, I'll dash the scooter. I was like, I don't even want to use the scooter. Yeah. He was like, nah. He goes, if you don't give me 70 euros now, we have to take something of value off of you, like your phone.
This is you're getting jacked by the feds.
It felt like three dudes with guns going, if you don't give us 70 euros, we're going to take your phone off you. Like, the dude was not having it. And again, I think I said this on the last podcast, on the first one, I pride myself in being able to blag stuff like this. Yeah. Like, yeah. I give them the authority. Like, I bow my head. I'm like, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? It won't happen again. I promise. I explained to them in England, you know, it's not like this in England.
It doesn't even exist.
And I had no idea it's like that here. Now I know. I won't do it again. I promise. And he was like, no, if you don't, I'm going to take your phone off you. I'm like, and I'm there for a good 20 minutes trying to speech these guys, and they're getting more and more pissed off, more and more pissed off. Yeah. And I can sense it in them. And I was like, okay, if
what
I push
time is this, what kind
this
of
is
time?
During the day, this is like 11 midday during the day. And like I said, there was not a single person in sight or a single car in sight. I was trying to explain to him, you're observant. You saw me jump the red light. Fair enough. Yeah. But you must have also seen there was no cars anywhere. There was not a single, because he was saying to me, oh, you could have hit a pedestrian. I was like, there was no one there.
What did he say? Like, it doesn't matter.
He's like, it doesn't matter. It's the rules. That's the law. And the more I was blagging it, the more pissed off he got. And I could sense it. Like, you know, when there's like you hit a point of no return, you sense it. And you're like, I know, the more I try and blag it, the more this guy is going to try and fuck me up. So,
and he's obviously a prick, you know,
proper.
I mean, getting put in a cell for like 6 hours or
something.
Shit.
Like, they, you know. Yeah, God knows what they're capable of doing, man. So, mate, I almost wanted to. I forgot I had that. I got that little button there.
I'll be at God's house or your mum's house.
Yeah, so that's
you
where it's
dead, jacking you for 70 euros.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing so... nothing, and you've just been at a graph. So they've got places where you can do graph.
Yeah,
but you can't fucking scoot home on your J's.
Well,
you know what I mean?
In the end, when I realized that I wasn't getting anywhere, I told them, look, in England, they at least treat you like an adult when you're crossing the road. I know when it's safe to cross the road.
I'm not an idiot.
Yeah, yeah. I knew now. I said, okay, I'll get your money, because he still had my ID on him. Like, he wasn't giving it back. So, and there was a cash point. There was a cash point just there. I was like, all right, I'll go get your money. Fine. But just, you know, I started cussing him down.
Schooling them.
Yeah, not even schooling them. I was just saying how, like, you know, they treat you more like an, even though in England it's still a bit of a nanny state. I'm not bigging up England like that much. Yeah. But at least they let you cross the road to your own volition. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They don't, you know, slap your hand.
Like, it doesn't seem right. It sounds like bullshit to me. You know what I mean? They can't charge you. We're going to jack you for your phone unless you give us 70 euros. I mean, it's just so... What if you know what I mean? That phone was just like your European phone. You thought, fuck it, I'll just give him the phone. It just doesn't seem that he gets anything out of it. Like, it's...
The cash point was up like a little bit. I could have easily walked away from him and left them with my ID. And I was contemplating that. I was like, oh, I can get a new driving license for 20 quid, you know? Fuck these guys. But yeah. I was just like, oh, no, because I kind of need my ID. I need it. But then I was like, you know what? I was like, fuck it. I just gave him the money, man. I don't know. I just didn't – like, I was there for work. Yeah. I had a flight later on that night. I just didn't want anything to mess with that, you know? So – but it really felt like I got robbed by three armed people in the street in broad daylight, man. It was really fucked up feeling, man.
What country is this?
In Vienna. This is in Austria. Vienna in Austria,
where Hitler was born.
Explains
a lot. Said, what's wrong with you lot, man? At least I don't speak German still, bitches. That is like that.
No,
is
I didn't
like,
go there
fuck
I didn't go there but I felt like I just oh mate it was oh, I was so fucking pissed off, man.
That is absolutely nuts, because it's not,
yeah.
It's like, was he having a bad day? Was he just a prick? Or was he just like taking the piss out of you in front of his mate?
No, because when I went off to the cash point, when I came back, they'd stopped a girl, a local girl on her bike, and they were doing the same thing with her. So I wasn't just a one-off. That made me feel a little bit better. That didn't make me feel better.
This kind of policing fucks me off, because that makes me think, yeah, they're not out there catching crime.
No.
You know the Chiswick flyover near the Fuller's Brewery?
Yeah.
There's a skinny little flyover, yeah?
Yeah,
when
you're
20 on the top there now. When you come down, there's often feds just parked there, just waiting for people to come down. If you're 22 miles an hour, bam, ticket.
Yeah.
And you say to them, bro, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. This isn't busting criminals. You know what I mean? You're not doing any like police work.
Exactly.
You're sitting there doing fuck all, just waiting on the off chance that someone comes. Like, what? Yeah. We're paying for that.
Yeah.
What kind of police work is that?
Exactly. I mean, I'm not downplaying, like, a lot of injuries happen on the road. People cross the road, they get run over. You know, a lot of that shit happens. So there is a reason why these rules exist, and I get it. You know what I mean? But we have common sense. You know, you as people, we, you know, like, and ultimately, I was putting myself at risk, no one else. You know what I mean? Ultimately,
only looking for jaywalkers. You know, he's hoping,
that's what they were doing. Because
nothing big happens, man. I hope it's just jaywalkers. We get a few tickets.
The whole rest of the day, every local person I bumped, like when I went to the graph shop, they got an ill Montana paint shop out there, and I was chatting to the guy behind the counter. I said, you know, on my way here, I got fucking fined for crossing the street, and he's like, I'd never heard of that before. He said those guys.
Really?
He said those guys were blatantly bored, just sitting there. He goes, it's blatantly a real law, but he was like, I've never been done for that, and I always cross the street. Yeah,
it's exactly like, the same as that Chiswick flyover shit. Yeah, I was talking about.
Yeah,
it's just two pricks. And sometimes I think that's about numbers. You know, They're superiors bollocking them. We haven't got enough numbers. You need to, and they're like, oh well, we know we'll get a couple of guys there.
Exactly.
The fact that you was a tourist and it wasn't blagged, it's just like nuts.
It's oh man.
How many times have you been in shit with police in a different country? You're like, no, I'm English, mate. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. I don't know the rule. Yeah. They're like, oh fuck. In the end, they're like, because it's long.
Yeah.
They might hate you, but they think, fuck this guy, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Never gonna be able to do anything. He's gonna go back to England.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember back in the days on the tube and on the Silver Links when the traffic ticket inspectors used to come on?
Mm.
And as a writer, you'd like never buy it. Most people didn't buy a ticket when we were younger, but you'd never buy it. It was like a part of your pride. Mm. I don't buy a ticket. I'm fucking graph writer.
Yeah.
You'd be on the train and they'd be like, all right, what's your name? You'd be like, yeah, mate, Bob Smirnoff. Like, what the fuck? What's your address? You know what I mean? You're like, yeah, 2 King's Palace. Like, they'd write this bullshit ticket out, give it to you. Yeah, I'm going to pay, mate, as soon as I get home, yeah? I promise. And you're gone.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know, it's weird. It's weird you say that because on episode 1, we told that story about when you shot that kid in the eye in school with the BB gun. That kid, I memorized his name and address. And that was the name and address I used to give out whenever I got nicked. I'm being serious. For like a good few years. I don't know what, like, I don't know. I never knew if anything actually turned up at his house, but that was the name and address.
I actually did it to a guy and he got a fucking ticket in the post. Ed Glover. He used to live on the same street as me.
Oh, so it
just bam, came in. And he's like a proper, like, good boy. You know what I mean? I was like, Ed Glover. You know what I mean? But he got the fucking ticket in the post.
Yeah, but then they can contest it easily and get off.
Yeah,
it,
yeah, but, exactly. But it's still
dark, though. It's still dark.
Yeah. And then it switched because I remember, maybe I started driving or some shit, stopped using the train that much. And then, bam, got on the train, ticket inspector came on, and I was like, yo, my name's, you know what I mean, Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, cool story. You got to pay now. And you're like, because he had the machine, like the car machine. Yeah.
But then you could always say, look, I got no money, bro. I got no money, you know? And then they write it out for you, you know?
Listen, I can do a French accent so good. Yeah. Bare people think I speak French.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to speak a little bit of French, but...
petit peu.
Yeah, but it wasn't that kind of accent. It was like French.
Go on,
accent.
Then.
All my ex-birds were French.
I remember.
Qu'est-ce qui se passe alors, tu vois? And then they'd be like, what the fuck? So I'd be on the train.
Yeah.
I'd be like, moi, je ne parle anglais, toi. Qu'est-ce qui se passe alors?
Hey, regarde la vache, la vache.
But the best thing is the French accent in English. But excuse me, I don't, I'm here on holiday. I don't understand why you're so angry. I take the train to go to the station, please. How you say in English? Ticket I don't have.
That's perfect.
I've done that so many times. I'm like, oh, fuck this guy, man. Fuck this guy.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
and
yeah,
and then he walks
sure.
off. You're like, yeah, puss yo!
I've done that on a couple cities when I haven't paid for the train. Usually nowadays I pay for the train, but... You know, when, like you say, oh, I bought a ticket for the bus. I thought it was the same ticket. You know what I mean? And then, like, usually they'd be like, no, it's not. Yeah. And then they, like, just go, oh, okay, fuck you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Do you remember back in the 90s, talking about Arms House to Your Mum House, 90s stories? I swear it was
Hold on. I'll bring Arms House to Your Mum's House. Yeah.
Arms House to the Mum's House. Someone would have a travel card.
Yeah.
Right, and it would be a ticket. It'd be like a ticket, an all-day travel card or something.
Yeah, I remember that.
You could use it on any bus, any tube, whatever. Yeah. It was only about £3.20 or something.
Yeah.
But you used to get the old cards and cut the date out so you could change any date you want. And you would just get the Pritt stick because there was no machine like, oh, you've got to tap it on the machine, rare, rare, rare. You'd get on the bus and just show it to this geezer in a grimy, like, plastic wallet folder that's been in your pocket for years anyways. It's all dirty and rank. They can't see shit. But it's got your face on it. Someone would, like, get the Pritt stick. Okay, so it's the 17th now. Okay, so we've got the 7 there. Just put the 1 on here. Pritt stick botched and just go through. It would last forever. And ever.
Well, we used to do that, but with the there used to even be bus passes that you scratched out. You bought it from a newsagent and you'd scratch out the date, you know, and then you could use it all that day and then you'd have to throw it away, Only cost a quid or something. But I remember we used to, like, if you had two of them, one of them you just like scratch out all the numbers and cut out all the numbers, and then you'd have another one and you just stick the number in, use it that day, and then take them off and then put the new numbers in for the next day to show. Because the bus drivers, they didn't give a fuck as well. They're there to drive the bus. They're not there to police every single fucker getting on the bus, especially a kid in school.
You couldn't get on the bus back in the, like, wasn't the bus 40p?
Something like that.
God, it was 40p.
Yeah.
And you'd be like two little 20p, two little, what would we call it? Mini edge piece.
Yeah.
Two little 20p's and just bam, you're on the bus.
Done.
40 fucking p, man.
Yeah, man.
Go like fucking wherever.
I tell you, the only thing that pisses me off nowadays about Oyster and all that stuff, I know you can use your contactless card, but before I had a contactless card, because I didn't have one for years, so I used to still update my Oyster. But then when you're on a night out, and it's like 2-3 in the morning, you're waiting for the night bus. And the night buses, they come like every hour. So sometimes you're sat there 45-50 minutes waiting for this fucking thing. Then it pulls up and you're like, no, nothing on your Oyster. You haven't updated it. And the guy is just like, fuck off my bus, you know? And you're like, how am I supposed to get home? I'm in Central. I'm trying to get to West. Like, if you're going to have Oyster, they should have on every bus stop a touch thing that you can pay on your Oyster. If the bus driver is not going to take cash, you know, because they don't take cash nowadays, you should have an option to update your fucking, you know, to fill up your Oyster, man, at every bus stop. I mean, oh man, that shit.
Yo, this reminds me of a story, man. I can't believe this shit is true. You know, like back in the day, you had to get a night bus if you wanted to go west. You had to go somewhere near Trafalgar Square to get the N97, I think it was called, N97 or something.
Yeah.
There's a certain spot, if you were out anywhere central or blah, 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 you could go Trafalgar Square, near Trafalgar Square, or near Selfridge, I can't remember where it was, and get the N97 all the
near
way
near Leicester Square, Leicester Square. I think it's the N7 now does that, but back then I think it was
this
the
was
N97.
A double-decker bus.
Yeah.
And we get there, there's a mad queue. We're all like pissed. I don't know who I was like. We've gone out like on a some sort of rave or something. Coming back, and there's a mad queue. Yeah, people all kicking off, rare, rare, rare. And the bus is on. The bus is switched on. Just sitting there.
Yeah.
And there's no driver, but there's been like a big, like fucking huge, like mad. Something's gone on, and he's blatantly got out and like just fucked off. You know, what I mean, them moody bus drivers.
Yeah.
I'm gone. Left it on. Yeah.
Don't tell me.
Yeah, I was with Cheat. Everyone used to hate Cheat. It's me and him. I'm remembering it hard now.
Oh my God.
And everyone's like, yo, fucking where? And we're like, we're getting reaches on the outside of the bus. And the bus is getting fucked. And I suddenly thought, shit, this bus is on.
Yeah.
So they had those double doors that you could like push your way.
You could easily push them open.
Like open. I got in, man. I got in the bus. The key's in the bus and everything. I'm like, oh, shit. So Cheat gets on the bus. I get on the bus. I'm like, bro, fucking hell. How'd you do? Put it in first gear. And I just started going. Yeah, just driving. Oh, we nicked the bus, bro.
Jesus Christ.
There's bare people saying, fucking drive it. Fucking drive. Trying to get on the bus, And we're like,
you're going
to
drive them home.
Your butters, you can't get on. And I remember this pregnant lady. She was either a pregnant lady or she had a pushchair. I can't remember.
Oh,
I think
she
had a pushchair, actually. And we said, no, you can get on the bus. She got on the bus.
Oh, my
God. Dude, I was like 18, 19.
She's insane. And you're drunk as well? You're playing
And I start pulling off on this, bruv, double decker. I start pulling away from, let's fucking go, like ding, 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 pressing all the ding, ding, like all this shit. Within like less than 2 minutes, it is like,
of course,
everywhere,
of course.
And Cheat the cunt just gets off the bus and just ducks, yeah. And I'm on my J's. Oh my, and this woman comes up to the glass, you know, the glass at the driver. She's like, excuse me, could you let me off? I'm like, I don't even know how to open the door, yeah. And I'm looking if there's like an open door button. I think, fuck it, I get out the cabin and like boot the door open. So she's like, literally, yeah. Boot the door open so she can get out.
Jesus.
And I think, shit, what am I going to do? You know what I mean? I've stopped the bus in the middle of this fucking road. I don't know. Jeez, I think Louise. It was near one of those big shops like Selfridges. Or I just remember feeling. Anyway, there's feds everywhere. Like, get off the bus! And I'm thinking,
yeah, of course.
Shall I drive the bus? And then maybe I can see a spot where I can duck out and duck down an alleyway, you know what I mean? But my friend, he fucking just left. He just Jesus. Fucking dust. And just, I'm thinking, shit, I'm going to get completely nailed for this. Reaches all over the bus. In white pen on the black window, he battered it.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, yeah, yeah.
Holy shit. And it blatantly stunk of weed and stuff like that. So they were saying, get off the bus, get off the bus. And I'm looking at them. Because I'm looking through the driver's like window, I can only see them on the right, and I'm thinking, and there's at the minute there's no feds right next to the door, so I think, fuck it, burst out,
yeah.
But and I'm trying to burst through the, like this door, but it's like a sort of like alien or like vaginal opening. And I'm going to fucking out, trying to come out, and this fed just boom pulls me out, bang on the floor, and I was like, shit.
What the fuck happened?
I tried to blame it all on the driver. The fucking driver's not here. What the fuck? And I looked down on my I'm flat on the middle of the road, yeah. And he's got my one cheek's on the road, and because of the way I'm angled, I can see where I left the bus. I've only driven it like 50 meters. All the people are still there, going yeah, like this, and I'm thinking, no, man.
Fuck. You got nicked and done. Man. Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Man. Did you even have a driving license then?
Yeah, I must have done, because I remember thinking, I know how to drive these shits now.
Okay. Okay.
So I must have. I reckon I was about 18, 19.
Damn, man. I never heard that one.
I've been arrested loads of times, but I'd never been arrested in like central. You know what I mean? I was like, bro, I'm in a different cell. I don't know where the fuck I am. Like, fuck, this is going to be bait. This is
going to
be
bait. Oh, my God.
No alcohol test.
Oh, shit.
No anything. They just treated me like I was a kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a dickhead kid. And I was going, yeah, but I let the pregnant lady off. You know what I mean? No one was letting her on. I fucking drove her down the road. They're like, mate, the blag is not going to be fucking working this time, bro. I remember feeling so proud. Like, bro, I've driven a double-decker bus.
Jesus.
It was covered in graft. I didn't have the pen on me. It was all cheap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Done,
but he put cheat theme with the same T. Like, everyone's going to blame me getting nicked for that. Didn't get nicked for that.
Well, the thing is, the Metropolitan Police, they didn't have a clue really about graffiti. It was the BTP, the British Transport Police, you had to worry about. They were the ones who would put two and two together like that. They wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't have a clue. They're just like, fuck.
Some people had run down, because I said it was only 100 metres. Some people ran down and said, oh, leave him alone. At least he was fucking driving the bus. And so the police were like having to deal with like all people kicking off.
Jesus.
And me like trying to squirm away. But then they handcuffed me, man.
That's insane, Theme. You do realize how insane that is.
When I look back at that, I do think like, fuck it. Imagine like my son doing that. Or imagine, I'm just thinking, what the fuck are you doing, man?
I'll tell you one thing. I mean, so many mad things happened on night buses, man. Like so many. But standard procedure, top deck of the night bus, when you're going home, you're 100%. You're blazing weed on the top of the bus. You know, it was 100%. Standard. It was happening. And I remember once we were up there, and obviously coming from Central, I think the N207, it goes all the way, you know, ends up on the Uxbridge Road, then goes all the way, ends in Uxbridge, you know, but goes through Ealing. So we jump off in Ealing. But we're in Acton now on Uxbridge Road, and we're going down. This is like 2-3 in the morning. I'm on a top deck bus. I'm with Frez. I'm with a couple of other heads. This is school days. You know, this is, I was 16, 17 maybe. And we're all smoking on the top of this bus. The bus is empty by now, but because it's right near the end of the line. So it's empty, and we're all just blazing on a top deck. And then we're going through Acton, and then it stops at a bus stop. And we're like looking out the window. There's no one at this bus stop, and the bus is just still. And we're like, oh shit, like, he must know that we're smoking weed. He's called the police or something. You know what I mean? Because it was sitting there for too long.
He blatantly did. We always thought we could get away with it, but
no. Check this out. The next thing we hear him open. You know, you can hear what's going on downstairs, and we can hear the bus driver open the door, and he starts coming up the steps, and we're like, oh shit, like that. And he comes up, and it was a Rastafarian guy.
No way.
And he was like, you guys smoking in here like that, yeah? And we were like, no. And he was like, give me the reach, man. I want some.
No,
I swear. And he sat with us. He sat with us for 5 minutes. And we reached him on the zoot. We reached him on the zoot. He just took a couple tokes like that, yeah? And he was like, all right, man. He's like, put it out now. And then he kept on the rest of the journey.
Did you see what it was like back in the day, man? That would never happen now.
Oh, no, hell no. Of course not. Of course not, man. But even like in the 80s, I think before our time, it was normal to smoke on the bus. Like on the top deck, it was like normal. You could smoke on the top bus. So this was like mid to late 90s where it was definitely not allowed, but it was kind of like that transitional period. That was it.
Yeah, exactly. While they're thinking, how are we going to change all this shit? These youths are out of control. Yeah. I love the way he waits till he gets to Acton and then pulls over and comes upstairs. I love that shit.
Yeah, it was so sick. We were catching.
Boy, smoking.
And like, we'd obviously done a couple tags, and we were just hoping he didn't notice that, and he didn't give a shit, man. You know?
Yeah, he wouldn't give a shit about that.
Yeah, man.
Now you see bus drivers not letting girls on because they're like, they don't have their wallet on them or something, and it's 2 a.m, you know what I mean? And they're telling these birds to go home. And some of these, there was people in the news, some girl got attacked.
Yeah.
Because on her, she had to walk home because the button, like, you can't get on, you know.
Now, they should have a policy. They should have a policy. Women and children, doesn't, if it's late at night, 100%. If they have money or not, they're allowed on the bus. That's fucked up, by the way.
Get on the fucking bus, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's messed up.
But you're right. Standard procedure.
Should be.
Top floor, Bunnings Zoots.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone smoking weed upstairs.
And I used to I remember when it was rammed upstairs, we still did it even so. This was drunk. Yeah. It's like 2 a.m, 3 a.m. And everyone else on the bus is pretty much drunk as well. Most people, yeah. So I remember even when we used to do it, like I even had the peace of mind. I used to be like, before I sparked it, I'd be like, is anyone on the bus asthmatic? And if I didn't hear anything, I'd be like, all right, sweet. I used to ask if anyone was
like, you're so nice.
I think because maybe one time I did it and then some guy just kicked off at me. He was like, I got asthma. I was like, all right, and I put it out. So ever since then onwards, I'd always be like, anyone here have asthma?
Man, so funny, man. I remember so many times doing that on the bus, man.
Yeah.
All right. I swear, being writers back in the day, we used to feel like we owned, like I own London, the transport.
Yeah.
It's for us. It's ours. We do what we want. We don't buy tickets. We treat it like shit. It was like that kind of vibe. It was that kind
But
of
we
vibe.
Embraced it and we loved it. And we spent a lot of time on the London Underground. Like we spent a lot of time. Me, Frez and Gore and a couple of other heads from back in the day, we used to just have a night. We used to get a bottle of something. We'd all have marker pens on us. And just jump on the train and then just spend the whole evening, you know,
riding like the lines, man.
Up until the last train. Sometimes we'd even have a whole bunch of spray cans on us and we'd spend the night on the trains, just hopping from train to train, carriage to carriage, just catching tags. And then and then you'd get off and then walk home from wherever you got off. And then like sometimes it'll be a 3-hour walk, but you'd catch tags on the way home and stuff. That was if you were really feeling hardcore, particularly
it reminded
hardcore.
Reminded me of Drax on Kings and Toys.
Even, yeah.
When he had his hat down. I used to get the night bus to the other end and then I should get off and walk all the way home just bombing everything in sight.
Yes.
You know what we missed, though? We missed the London Underground, like, parties.
Oh, yeah.
We were like 5-6 years out of that shit.
Yeah.
And they made flyers and shit. Yo, it's going to be on the Metropolitan line between there and there. And just had these fucking rowdy parties.
Yeah,
and
Mean PFB.
And shit.
Yeah, Mean PFB is a friend of mine. And he was part of those parties. And he used to tell us about him, man. Insane, man. They looked like so much fun. They'd have like B-boys. They'd have a sound system. They'd all have marker pens. And they'd get on a train carriage and just muller it, you know, and then they do it all the way up until it got broken up by police, you know, at some point. Yeah. Yeah.
But they were like planned with flyers and shit. Yeah. Imagine. This is all pre-camera. You know when we were doing that, you're just talking about the night bus. That was pre-cameras, wasn't it? I think there was like one of those shitty kind of, what are they called? Like those mirrors that allow the dude to see up. Did you remember that? Yeah.
They're like, what's it called?
Like an angle.
It was like a periscope.
That was as bait as it was. That's the only thing you had to worry about. Is you reckon he's looking in the periscope like, right?
You could even, but you could see this driver's eyes. You could see his eyes.
Angle.
Yeah. Or you just put a jumper over it. Or you just cover it with a jumper or something. Someone put their bag over it or something.
So fucking, those times were just better, man.
Yeah, man.
Arms house to your mum's house.
So we have a you said you had a rant ready. You want to give us a little rant?
It's not really a rant. It's more of a like a confusion, yeah.
I'm kidding.
I was painting this house for these three Irish girls. Yeah, they're just tenants in the house, mad young. And every time I saw them, I was like, yo, I've seen these kind of people before. These Irish, English, Welsh, Scottish girls.
Yeah.
That remove their eyebrows. Yeah. You can tell they've either shaved it off, waxed it. I don't know how the fuck they're taking their eyebrows off.
They're waxing.
They're taking them off. Blame. But then the thing is, listen, if you want to wax some hair and take it off, fine, take it off. Don't then draw it back on with a fucking pencil. You know, one of them brown makeup pencils, yeah? And then since I've been like with previous girlfriends who were French and Andrea, who's from South America, they're like, yo, why do your English girls, and it's Scottish girls, it's UK girls. It's not all of them, obviously, but it's that standard of
birth. I know the ones. I've seen them.
And when you notice it in England, it's mad like popular. There are so many of these chicks.
Yeah.
Who are taking their eyebrows off and then painting them back on, either really, really thin or mad fat, like these huge, and it's like paint. You know, it's like a marker. It's like a black pen.
Yeah, they either had
brown fucking makeup bit.
They either had a fine liner or they had the, you know, the biggie 2.3 inches.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, remember the pens we used to use as graffiti writers?
Yeah, like so Edding 580s or whatever they call.
They had one of those.
Why are you if you want your eyebrows, like, why do you then put them back on? You must think to yourself, this looks better than my original eyebrow. And then you're a fucking delirious twat because it doesn't look better. You looking fucking weird.
It does look
weird. It's those type of birds who are like orange, you know, but you know,
white
girls who go orange.
I guess that's this typical.
Like a really pasty white neck and a really orange face. And then these eyebrows are drawn on.
Yeah.
But you had eyebrows. It's fucking strange as fuck. And since Andrea pointed it out, like, why is that bird? And I'm like, shit, there's so many people in this country.
I'll tell you what, though. Just to push back a little bit, is we underestimate women when it comes to their makeup and stuff like that. I have no idea what these women go through, like, when they do this stuff. And I could imagine, the mad different types of styles and shapes of eyebrows. Yeah. Like me, I'm Arab. Yeah. I got the mad, hefty, big, fat off eyebrows. But
what you're saying is cool.
But like they have to manicure them. They have to look after them. They have to check them every day. They have to pluck them, all that. So they're like, you know what? I'm shave them off and just draw the motherfuckers on, you know?
I'm not accepting the pushback because you can mold them, shape them, trim them.
Of course.
Have them done, whatever.
Yeah, but they grow back.
You see all these hot women. Every hot woman you ever saw doesn't have drawn on eyebrows.
No, I know. All the way up till recently.
So why are these people doing it?
Yeah, I don't know.
They're not hot. They're like little piglet little like chicks. They're fucking rank.
I'm not into it.
They have, like, man, I just don't get that. Like, what the? And actually, you go to France, Spain, Italy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no woman, dude. There is none. Maybe a granny who, like, properly lost her eyebrows. You know what I mean? And she's painting them on in blue or something. Oh, my darling, come here. You can have some pasta. Because of the blue eyebrow. But not these fucking. What the fuck is that?
You know what, though?
And you're right. We don't understand the makeup and shit. But yeah. That's exactly it. They can do loads of shit with their eyebrows.
No, I know.
You don't take it off and then put it on. It's fucking weird.
There's definitely been moments where I've seen some girls. I mean, poor girls, though, man. But like where I've just been looking at their eyebrows and I'm just going, what made you decide to shape them? Obviously, I haven't said it out loud, but I'm thinking it in my head. I'm like, why did you shape them like that? Of all things to shape them like. Why like that?
Especially the tiny, thin wire ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Or like the surprise ones. They're just in like a huge rainbow shape. They're constantly a fucking surprise. Hi, you know what? You look like fucking... I can't even bring myself to speak.
But can I say one thing though, man? This is so messed up. And it's a
this
true...
This is going to be another pushback. Oh, this is a true story. Let's go.
No, but it's... Yeah, it's fucked up. Because I'm with you, Theme. I'm with you. But one day... When I was living with my mum, I came home and I opened the door and all I could hear from the living room was zzz, like a, you know, buzzing sound. Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck? I was with my brother and I was like, what the fuck's going on? I come into the living room. Yeah. you just reminded me of this, man. And my mum's lying down on the sofa and her mate is all hunched over her face. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, mum, what are you doing? Yeah. Zzz, zzz. I swear to you, Andy, she went one up from drawing her eyebrows on.
What the fuck did she do?
She tattooed them on, bruv. My mum, I'm not
like
even kidding.
Semi-permanent tats.
It wasn't permanent. Because I freaked out. I was like, mum, what the fuck are you doing, man? She was like, shut up. I was like, run this by us first, man. Let us know before you do something like this, man. Like,
I love the way you burst in. Mum, what the fuck?
Obviously, I didn't kick off. My mum can do what she wants. She's a grown woman. You know what I mean? But like, I was like, mum, like run this by us first. Let's, you know, let's have a little back and forth. I mean, not that it matters to me what you do with your eyebrows, but you know, maybe there's other options.
We need a family meeting about
because my mom, because Arabs as well, they love doing that shit. Arabs and like and South American women as well, man. Latinas, they love that shit as well, man. And I know your
removal and the painting back on, like.
I don't know. Ask your prima. Ask your wife. Yeah. Ask her if that's a popular thing in South America, because I think it is, man. But in Arab countries, a lot of, you know, all that plastic surgery, all that stuff is big in the Middle East. Not in every country, but in like Lebanon and Saudi and all these places. And my mum hangs out with a lot of Arab women and they've all fucking had their lips done and they've all had like Botox and shit. And I'm like, my mum's been wanting to do a nose job. I'm saying to my mum, please don't, man. You don't need it, man. You're beautiful. You're gorgeous. I was like, ultimately, yeah. I'm like, do whatever you want, mum. You know, it's fine. But let me just tell you, you're good. Because this is all born out of insecurities, you know, and then also peer pressure from her friends and stuff. Yeah. And I just remember coming home and they'd already tattooed one of her eyebrows. So it was too late. It's not like I could be like, stop. Yeah. They had to do the other one. Yeah. And obviously her mate is there as well. And I didn't want to kick up a fuss in front of everyone. My brother as well was catching jokes. And in the end, my brother, he was just like, hey, like watching her tattoo. Because my brother had always wanted a tattoo. He's got a couple now, no but way. This was back before he had one. He was like, can you tattoo my arm? And she was like, yeah, this girl that my mom, one of my mom's friends, I can't remember her name. She was like, yeah, okay, I'll tell you. She was just like willy-nilly with this tattoo gun. Just so whoever wanted tattoos, she was just willy.
What did he get? What did he get?
Well, he got my mom. He got like a Sharpie and my mom, he got my mom to write revolution, but in Arabic. I think it means, my Arabic is, but I think Thawra. Thawra is Arabic for revolution. I think this was at the time when the Arab Spring was happening. So this must be like 2008, 2007. Man, I can't remember. But around about that time. So it was all kicking off the civil war in Syria and in Egypt and all these things were happening. So my brother wanted Thawra, which is in Arabic writing, but with my mum's handwriting. So he got my mum to write on his arm. And then she just traced it
out. I love the
out.
Way your mum allows it as well. She's like, yeah, I'll write it on.
She can't say nothing. She just tattooed her face. She'd literally just tattooed her face. She was the original rapper. You know that all the rappers now, they tattoo their face. My mum was there before any of them motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah.
She's been tattooing her face way before fucking Post Malone and all these fucking geezers, man.
And then Talal gets it, but it was semi-permanent.
Yeah, but it's still on his arm, no? Because we're going to have, we were supposed to have my brother as a guest now. Today, but he was busy. So Talal, this is for you. But he will be maybe with us next week, because it'll be nice to chat to him about the podcast and about what my brother gets up to, and it'd be nice to chop it up with him. I'll get him to show the tattoo next week, okay? Because we drop podcasts every single Wednesday. And just a reminder,
Michael Parkinson on as well.
Definitely, he's showed some interest for sure, which is great.
Yeah.
I've got a mate of mine. I haven't reached out to him yet, but he's a scientist. He's a neuroscientist. He went to university for like fucking 15 years, and it's all about the brain and the neurons in the brain. And he's also a science communicator as well. He's got his own podcast. Yeah,
he sounds like a good person to chat to.
Yes. So, and I've known him for a long, 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 long time. So we used to go to school. He used to go to our school. He's like a few years older than us. He's a few years older than us.
About sleep and stuff like that, how important it is to the brain. I was chatting to my barber about it just now.
Oh, he knows all that stuff. But he also is really into music. So I was thinking we could think of some famous hip hop lyrics about the brain and like run them past him and see how authentic they are, how, you know, unauthentic they are.
Yeah.
And also because of my, you know, favorite conspiracy theories, and like a lot of them are anti-science, you know what I mean? And so I kind of want to pick his brains a little bit about that, how we can trust science, big pharma in this, you know, rampant capitalism we're living through right now, whether we can trust the science, you know, because who's paying who, you know what I mean? And all these things that I find is the root of a lot of these conspiracy theories, which is based in truth, you know what I mean? But then they just run rampant with them, with the conspiracies, and there's so much fucking weird, stupid, dangerous shit out there, you know, because of it. But it comes from that root of not trusting authority, you know what I mean? Which I agree with, which I'm down with, you know what I mean? But anyway, so...
The biggest corporate fines in the world that have ever been paid, like record-breaking...
Yeah,
have been paid by pharmaceutical companies.
Like, yeah, but that doesn't surprise me though, because we're not taking all the elements. I mean, I don't know. I'm not an expert. But now, just thinking aloud, they're giving people medicine, and there's not a single medicine on this earth that is 100% safe. Not a single one from even.
But not even that. Medicines where they know it's going to fuck people up, or if it's long term, and they say it's not going to fuck you up. But that's how they make money. It's like the war machine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
America basically has to have wars. Constantly has to have war.
That's part of their thing.
Trillions into the military. Trillions every year.
Yeah.
And the only way to get that out of the taxpayer is to make sure, you know what I mean?
They have to justify it.
Mad amount of bullets, mad amount of tanks. You could do Afghanistan. Like when they first overthrew the Taliban, it was special forces, small units of special forces. When they took out ISIS, it was small units of special forces.
Mm.
They overthrow it, right? They have an end game. What do you need to do? You need to go over there, take out ISIS, and remove any land that they have. Okay, fine. They send in special forces there, and they do that.
Yeah.
And that, but instead of saying, okay, cool, come home, then they send 10,000 tanks, 10,000 armored vehicles, Navy warships,
to spread democracy.
And then for all of those men, you need food, you need bullets, you need ammunition, you need arms. All of that, there's dudes making money out of that by making all of those machines. That's why it's fucked. That was the one good thing someone said. The one good thing about Trump is he came out on an interview. I can't remember who it was, like CBS or something. And he said, it's the war machine.
Yeah, he exposed all that stuff. Machine. Yeah.
But no one ever said, what the fuck? They all just went about their lives the next day. The president's saying, yeah, we did it. We actually do that.
That reminds me, just recently, Dave Chappelle was on SNL recently, and he had his opening monologue, and he spoke about Trump because Trump has recently just announced he's rerunning for fucking election again, man. God, man. we're going through this whole fucking circus again, man. But
well, did he say, let's make America great again, or
again,
like
again?
That?
Yeah, to really make America, whatever the fuck. Saying now, man. But anyway, but Dave Chappelle, you mentioned, he said how Trump, the reason why he's been so successful is because he's an honest liar.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I kind of agree with that to a degree because I always kind of said that, and in a way, like, you know, because he doesn't sound like your normal politician, you know what I mean? He's like, so when he comes in, starts talking all the shit that he does, like people go, yeah, he's telling it like it is and he ain't fucking around. He's like, no, he will screw you over just as quick as any other politician will. Just because he's putting it on Front Street doesn't mean he's any more trustworthy than any of them.
Dave Chappelle said
he's still
he
doing
came
it.
Out.
Yeah, and then he went back
everything in. Everything that you think we're doing in that house, we're doing it, bitches. And then he went back in the house.
And he went back in to carry on doing it. Exactly. And people rate him. Oh, look, he's telling the truth. It's like, nah. I mean, in a way, there's a certain part of me that goes, oh, okay, maybe it's better when they're not covering it up. You know what I mean? Like, I remember when the Iraq war was happening and there was George Bush Jr., and Saddam Hussein, this is before Saddam got caught and everything. And I was like, you know what? I kind of like Saddam more because he would come out in front of his people with a shotgun in one hand, lick off 3 shots in the air, and he'd be like, do as I say or I'm going to kill you. And then George Bush will come out and go, oh, you know, all like the political jargon, like, oh, you're either with us or against us and all this stuff. But it's basically the same message.
Same end game.
He's like, you know, he does it with a smile on his face. And he's like, no, we're here. We're friends. We're really your friend. You know what I mean? But if you fuck with us, we'll kill you. But like, you know what I mean? Like, I much prefer the Saddam way because you know what you're getting up to. you know what you're expecting.
Everyone else did as well, yeah.
So, like, you know, I get all that. But still, how anyone, especially poor people in America, can look at someone like Trump, a multi-gazillionaire, and go, oh, he's going to look out for us. He's never looked out for anyone but himself for his whole fucking life. And he's been in the spotlight for years. It's not like we just now, since 2016, oh, who's this Trump guy? No, we've all known he's a fucking
corrupt motherfucker forever.
He's just a businessman and he loves capitalism and he's loving all this shit. And he's, you know, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. And, you know, he's just a fucking dickhead, man. I don't see why anyone. And but then again, the same reasons why a Bernie Sanders or a Corbyn is popular, because again, they don't look or sound like your average politician. You know, they're telling the truth as well, but they're not going around and doing that shit, you know. But look what happened to them, you know what I mean? So it's all really depressing. But
anyway. big up Liz Truss on her 12 weeks reign as prime minister, the shittest prime minister ever, man. Booted out 12 weeks.
Yeah, insane. And now Rishi Sunak, I mean, let's see what's gonna happen, man. I mean, Rishi, and that, you know what, that's another thing that's so it just hits me as strange. Like, this Tory party is so diverse. It's mad. Black people, lots of women, lots of Asians. We got our first. Is he Indian or Pakistani? I can't remember. But Rishi Sunak.
Indian.
I think Indian. Yeah. Forgive me if I got that wrong. But, you know, that we should be. We should. Yeah, of course. But we should be celebrating that, you know. But I just can't celebrate him, man, because he's such a cunt, you know. He's like the richest multi.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oligarch president. I can't remember where I read that, but someone was saying he's like the first oligarch president, man. Him and his missus, they just own so much. And like, to think that he could even empathize with what people are going through is difficult, you know what I mean? Like, let alone,
did you hear what he did when he was trying to win? He went to a supermarket like Asda,
yeah,
because they were gonna, so it was all about fuel prices and it's all kicking off about fuel prices. And he went into he was doing some sort of like walk around or some shit, and they arranged for him to borrow a car of a woman who worked in Asda.
I think I did see that.
A tiny little Nissan Micra or something, a red Nissan Micra or something, just so he could have the photo op of putting petrol in the car so he knows how much a full tank is and rare. Turns out it wasn't even his fucking car. You know what I mean? I mean, how fucking bait if you did that in any job, any job. So you borrowed that, you lied, and you blatantly pretended it was yours to make you fit in. No, man, we're not having that. No one even says anything.
I don't know the story.
Like, oh, yeah, he did that, and then that was it.
But did he out?
He pretended it was his car, yeah.
But the thing is,
I'll look at it.
A lie is a lie, yeah, ultimately. But politicians, I look at them more like lawyers, yeah? There's lying, outright lying, yeah? Like Trump, he fucking just outright lies about shit, yeah? Like just says complete non-truths and just says that it is just because he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. But someone like Rishi, who's smarter, they know what they're fucking doing, man. They like, and like lawyers do in a court of law, you know, there's the prosecution and the defense. They both have the same evidence, but one can twist the evidence to fit their narrative and the other one can twist the evidence to fit their narrative. It's the same evidence. So it's not technically a lie, but it is, you know, they spin it and they twist it and they, you know, whatever. And so that's what politicians do. So they're not outright lying. Obviously, some of them do and they get called out on it, hopefully. And that's what we rely on the media to do, is to call these motherfuckers out, you know, which doesn't always happen.
Rishi Sunak, here we go, borrowed a Kia Rio from a man who worked at Sainsbury's, the Sainsbury's that he was visiting.
Okay.
He put 30 quid's worth in whilst having his picture taken and mic'd up for TV crews. And asked the TV crew to come and film the whole thing just to show that he's down with one of us. Yeah, he doesn't even drive.
Yeah,
he's plainly got drivers for his Bentleys and
shit. Yeah, of course.
A shitty little fucking Kia. You know what I mean? Fucking hell.
But that's the thing. If someone can't see through that, that's kind of on them a little bit. Obviously not. I mean, fuck Rishi Sunak, and that is terrible, and they shouldn't do that. But like, man, if you can't see through that nowadays, man, then... It's like a fool me once, fool me twice type of thing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and I can't remember the name of the movie. There's a movie with Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
He's in it, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it's called, but he's basically starts running for some sort of office. And then they basically, the whole film was about how politicians, especially in America, but this happens everywhere, you know, like all how it looks like what color tie he should wear, what hand movements he should make with each word in his speech, and like what hair cut he should have, what shoes he should wear, you know what I mean? And like
the adjustment bureau,
that's it.
Yeah,
that's the one. I haven't seen it in a long, long, long time, but I remember watching that. It must have come out a while ago, at least 10 years ago, if not more. But I remember I knew that from before that anyway.
Yeah, 2011 it came. Oh, okay.
So it wasn't even that long ago, but well, over 10 years, but I remember before that knowing that, but I remember that movie, like, I just remember there was a scene at the end.
Kind of reinforces it.
Yeah, he's just at the end going, fuck this tie, you know how many fucking, you know when they, like, control groups, they had, like, votes with what color tie, what shade of blue he should wear, like, to be the most appealing. Like, it's insane what they do. And that's what they, this was 10 years ago. God knows what they're doing now. You know what I mean? But then you look at someone like Trump, like, I don't even think he knows what he's doing. He just kind of.
He says, he makes posts like, I don't like reading, so I don't read.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the that was the president.
He said, my fan base are dumb. He said something along those lines. He was like, I love stupid people. He goes, most of the stupid people love me. Or uneducated, that was it. He was like, I love uneducated people.
Hillary Clinton said this man on TV, one of those rap battles that they do on TV when they're trying to get the president.
Yeah.
This man doesn't pay his taxes. He goes, that makes me intelligent.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's
doesn't give a shit.
It's insane, man. It's mad times.
I don't want to talk about. We can talk about that forever.
Yeah, it's mad times we're living in, man. Mad times. Shall we go now to the wackest graph writer of the week? I've got one.
Yeah, let's do wackest.
I got one.
Maddie's wackest writer. Aunt's house to your mom's house in the graph scene, bitches.
Now, first, I have to bring the disclaimer, okay? It's nothing but love here.
Toy and a pussy.
No, no.
Pursue you. We're going to take you.
I know that this podcast is called Arms House to Your Mum's House, but it's just a funny name, yeah? I'll bring arms house to your mum's house. But we come in peace and love. Me and Theme, we're not trying to make out like we're the best graffiti writers in the world. We're the most up. We've got the most style. No, hell no. Okay. This is just an opinion.
We're not the most aggy like Spo in 96. We're going to catch you in the yard and piss in your face.
Big up Spo every time. Salute. But So this one, this isn't a wackist writer because he's not whack. This guy is really skilled and he's really good. Yeah, he's got a big following on
more about how this Instagram is going to be whack as
well. Quiet. Check this out again. This is why it comes back to opinion. Okay, the guy I'm talking about is a writer who writes Gary, Gary.
Yes,
I think he's Gary underscore Stranger at Gary underscore Stranger on Instagram.
Tell me he's
got 100. He's got 100,000 followers. I don't think I've ever met this guy, but I know people who know him. I've got mutual friends. I'm mates with Odyssey, for example. I know Odyssey from way back. So Odyssey is the king. You know what I mean? Big up Odyssey. He knows that I wouldn't disrespect people willy nilly. And I'm not trying to disrespect Gary. Please, Gary, if you watch this.
I'm looking at his graph now.
No, wait, Addy, before you continue, let me just get this off my chest, because I don't want to, because graph writers, hip-hop heads in general have fragile egos. I never met Gary, I don't know who he is, I'm sure he's a perfectly nice guy, and I really like his skills. He has dope skills, but if you look at his graph, he's a bona fide artist, respect to the guy, please. But now this is where my opinion comes into play. He does, if you look at his Instagram and you see his pieces, although I tell you what, his recent couple things, he's been stylizing it a bit more, which I like. But his thing is to do like graphic, like it's so precise on the wall. I'm talking, you would not even be able to tell that it wasn't a poster, like printed, you know, or projected on the wall. That's how clean and precise this guy is, yeah? Straight lines, not a single fuck up in the whole thing. Perfect circles. When I say perfect circles, I'm talking perfect, like G. The G is always like a perfect circle. And every line, it looks like a graphic font, you know, on the wall, like a black background with a white line, you know, spelling out the Gary. And it'll be like cool little funky fonts, not graph letters, like a font, like you'd get on a computer. Like I said, it looks like it was done on a computer, which I guess is a compliment. It's a compliment to some people. But for me personally, I love the inconsistencies and the fallibility of graffiti. I like seeing mistakes or a couple of drips here. Obviously, I don't want the whole piece dripping. You know what I mean? You got to have some can control. But you know what I mean? Like the... What is the word? Like it's not perfect. Imperfections. Yeah. Like I like the imperfections in a piece. You know what I mean? It makes it more raw to me, man. Obviously, I'm not talking about a toy. Like, no, you can see when someone's a toy and someone's good. When you can see someone's good, but, you know, they've got some style, pizzazz, and you can tell they've free-handed it. I'm pretty sure Gary doesn't use stencils. He doesn't use any of that stuff. He definitely uses cutbacks, obviously. I mean, I use cutbacks.
Marking tape and shit.
Huh? No, I don't think he does. I know people who have seen him paint and he doesn't. They see, that's what makes it skillful. You know what I mean? If he just cut out a stencil.
He uses razor blades to cut little bits out of his fucking rollers and that.
Oh, is that what he does?
To make the two lines with a hollow bit in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the roller. He's cut the middle bit out with a fucking razor blade. This isn't graph, man.
No.
This is definitely going down as wackest graph writer of the week. But what the fuck is this? He can't fit. Bring fucking arms house to this bitch. I mean, okay, Gary, listen, gal. You're an artist, man. But a lot of our friends are liking this big scores on there, bigging him up.
No, don't start listing people off, please. Don't start bringing other people into this.
They're rating his shit.
No, all Gary, listen. Gary is a legend.
Vibes is on there.
He's been around a long time. I'm sure he's even been painting. Like, I know he's older than me. I don't know for sure, but I know he's been painting a long time. So I don't want to just sling hate towards him willy-nilly. I'm not a hater. I'm just saying from my opinion that I just wanted to kind of, that might spark off a conversation, and maybe people in the chat, in the comments, they can let us know what they think about that type of graph compared to...
The only thing is about this wackest graph writing, I feel in the disclaimer, because I'm not getting the impression. I mean, does he think, is he saying he's a graph writer? I don't know.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe Gary is trying to distance himself.
I'm an artiste. Probably one of those dudes who used to do graph. Blatantly started in graph.
No, of course he did. Yeah, and he still does. I'm sure he still paints illegally. I'm sure, because he runs with some people, man, like some heavy hitters, man. You know what I mean? He's in, I don't know what crews he's in, man, to be honest. I genuinely can't remember, but I know he knows some good friends of mine, man. You know, so I'm not trying to cuss him. I got to give him respect. I respect Gary for the work he's put in. It's not like he's just swooped in out of nowhere. He's a culture vulture. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying his style that he does now, that, and a lot of other people do a similar sort of thing. Just he's just kind of like the best at it. So that's why I've singled him out, you know, because I was going to mention another writer as like an alternative to Gary. I think they're mates as well. They've definitely painted together, but there's another writer who writes roids. Yeah, Royd. I can't remember what his Instagram is. Fuck, let me try and bring it up. But Royd is another guy who does like intricate, very precise, really cool stuff, but he's got his style, there's style to it. You know what I mean? It doesn't look like it's, even though it does look like it was done on a computer, it's that precise, but he has those imperfections in it. The way he uses a splatterdash method and the way he does cutbacks and the shadows he does, it's really like, it's like an alien did it, yeah? It's really crazy the stuff Royd does. I'm a big fan of Royd's, yeah? And I know for a fact Royd, he painted a lot of trains. He still paints trains. He's like a sick writer. I got to find his Instagram. I got to big him up because he's fucking sick.
I'm looking at Gary does stuff that I could never even do on a piece of paper.
Exactly.
All that mad 3D, mad equal, mad circumference circles, brilliant type of shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's impressive shit. I reckon we're going to get a lot of hate for this one, man. I don't know.
Well, let's see. Let's see what people think. I might be wrong. Maybe people...
We don't give a shit because it's Arms House to your mum's house. That's nah, what it's about.
It's all love, people. It's all love. You know, I want to find Royd's... Oh, there we go. His Instagram is Willis82, Willis82. That's his Instagram. And he does, again, like I said, he does these intricate, weird, crazy kind of things that you think is done on a computer. Like, it's that intricate. But at least it's got style to it.
This is more graph.
And like, you know, and he's like...
He's got some panels on there and shit.
He's innovative. He's pushing forward boundaries. And to me, Gary, kind of, you respect the discipline that it takes to paint one of those pieces he does. I don't have that discipline. Yeah. Like, I'm halfway through a piece and I'm like, oh, for fuck's sakes. And I'm like, I fuck up a lot of my pieces just because I just want to finish it because I'm tired or I'm too drunk or whatever. But to do stuff like Gary does or like Royd does, you got to have that discipline to follow it through to the end, you know, to make those pieces look like they do, you know. But I'm just saying, my only qualm is I think that graph, if everyone just started doing Gary's style, graph would lose its essence, you know. At least in Royd, I feel that there's that little bit of essence left in it, if that makes sense. Again, this is just my opinion, okay, party people. Gary is not a toy, he's not a whack writer, okay. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, just from my opinion, all right? So salute to Gary, salute to Royd, salute to all them mandem, all right?
Black is right of the week. Yeah, but man, for me, we've spoken about this millions. Graph for me has to have some sort of, it needs to look like you're doing graph. It needs to look like it still has a bit of militance and vandalism. It could be the sickest piece ever, but it still needs to have aggressive letters, mad kind of outline, wicked border, but still have that yeah. element of bang, this is just fucking done on your wall or on your train, yeah. bit of van. Like you said, some drips and shit.
Yeah.
But in, and then for even for me, like the sickest Wild Stars, you can bun that. I don't give a fuck about that. I can't even, I've done graph since God was a boy. I can't even read that shit. I'd much prefer, and that's when people take the piss out of us because we like London letters. Oh, you're fucking basic London letters. Yeah. I do. Yeah. I do. Because it looks like, boom, someone does a fucking zombie on the fucking hill, or, you know, whatever, whoever,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
And you're like, yo, they've yeah. gone in there. They've done that in 20 minutes. It's done. They've had all this heat on them. And it still looks like you can. And if you can see their roots.
Yeah, exactly.
This guy, all of the people we're talking about, you know, the teachers, the zombies, the whoever's, you can see the roots and you can see how they cut. Look at Bass. Yeah. Some of the panels that guy's doing, and then you look at some dubs he was doing just 8-10 years ago, you could yeah. mad progression in it.
Yeah.
And there's the Paris skis at Depot, yeah.
Mm.
You can tell Depot, someone was telling me how everyone does their graph the same, like they drop like the outline first and then they might change it and
yeah.
because you're schooled like that.
Yeah.
When you get schooled up, like, listen, this is what you do. You drop it on the wall first. Then yeah. you start filling it in. Then you do the background. Then you do the outline. Then you do the, this guy does his graph different, and you can tell when he does it yeah. that he's come up a completely different way, and he's stuck with it, and that's why his letters look different. That's why you can tell Depot from a million. It's not that good. It's not shit. Sometimes it's fucking mad burners actually. Sometimes it's very good, but apparently he does it a little bit. He doesn't do that way. He came up completely on his J's, learned on his J's, stuck to it on his J's, and then just bam, learned his way and bam, just went out there.
But you can still trace the route. He does that. Yeah, you can still trace the route.
With him, you can massively trace the route.
Yeah, yeah. But also,
you got Yan, you were going through Paris and you saw the fucking Yan dub in Paris, man.
Rago. Shout out Yan, man, aka Bozo, DDS. I think it was him and Flash. They had a dub, left Gare du Nord, I was on the Eurotunnel coming out of the station. I just saw it there on the right. I was sick. I managed to get a quick picture. But just to your point before, of course, we love the traditional. I'm a traditionalist in general when it comes to making beats. I still sample vinyl. I use old drum machines. Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm what they consider a traditionalist. I don't hate on new stuff. You know what I mean? But for my aesthetic, my personal opinion, I still kind of like that. But I don't like stagnation as well. I don't want things just to go round in circles. No, we need progression. We need to move forward. I do sample from online. I do use plugins. You know what I mean? Like I'll put some effects. I use technology to a certain degree. Of course, we're using it right now. You know what I mean? We embrace it, you know, and we move forward. But being an older guy, I like to be one of those peoples that kind of like a historian, you know what I mean? It's not a historian doesn't want to wipe out the future and live in the past. No, but it wants to say you have to look back before you can move forward. You know what I mean? So I want to help people look back before they move forward. Do you know what I mean? So I like doing that. Personally,
I'm a bit worse. I'm the kind of guy who begs Diet to do pieces like he used to do.
Yeah, me, I would love
him. You do it like it's 95 and you had like all these mad things and he's like, fuck that, man. I'm doing this, bosh.
Yeah, no, Diet is a...
I'm properly stuck in the... That's my problem. Legend. Properly stuck in the, I would much rather see one of those dirty old like Yeah dubs top to bottom on the district line than some fucking newfangled shit. I don't know why, man. I'd much rather see that.
You know what I'm going to prepare for next podcast? I'm going to prepare a bunch of Instagram profiles that I really like to look at of people who post old school photos. There's a few of them out at the moment, man. Some really cool ones.
And then we can big them up.
And just so if there's any like youngins or you know, younger people not really into graph watching and they want to see some of the stuff that we're talking about, I'll suggest some for next week. Remember, guys, every Wednesday we drop a new podcast, man. So make sure you subscribe to the YouTube, subscribe, like us, and follow us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Deezer, whatever the fuck that is. We're on Deezer. We're on iHeartRadio.
Subscribe to the YouTube. I'm going to subscribe to the YouTube.
Yeah, man. God damn it. Get with the program, man. So please, guys, leave a comment, let us know your thoughts on the idea, but be respectful. You know, we're not here to just take the piss out of each other. We're here to, you know, conversate and spread love and exchange ideas, as it were. You know what I mean? Yeah, Andy, yo,
on the other hand,
we had
your mum's pussy shut because it's arms house to your mum's house. Bitch. Step on your motherfucker. Yo, it's been an hour and 7 minutes already.
Yeah, we good. We had a few more things to go through, but we can wait till next time, man, for that. Yeah, next week.
Kanye West, I can say whatever I want, man. No one drops me. Adidas drops you. Gap drops you. The Yeezys. The shit, man. If you were the kind of person who went out and spent £350 on a pair of fucking Yeezys, you're a melt. You're a tosser. They're the shittest fucking trainer that ever came out. The old school ones that look like your nan knitted them, and now the new ones that look like shit Crocs. Bruv, you're a pum. And now they're gone forever. That's the best thing that Yeezy's done for hip hop ever. I'm talking pre-Kardashian. Since pre-Kardashian Kanye, like Black Thought said in his freestyle,
yeah.
The best thing that Yeezy's done for hip-hop is get dropped by Adidas because they've stopped production straight away. Yeah. Put that in your arms house to your mum's house. Shittest trainer ever.
On that note, party
everybody. We love you.
Much
keep
love.
Keep listening.
Yeah.
We don't give a shit if you don't listen. We're going to keep going on and doing it every Wednesday, baby.
Exactly.
Maddie and Theme. Amber and Theme.
Yeah. And suggest who you'd like to see as a guest or something. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm going to get Michael Parkinson.
No, not you. Not you. No, I'm saying to people out there, man, just, you know, let us know who you'd like to see us chat to, what you'd like us to talk about, et cetera, et cetera. But for now,
Doc
party
Brown,
people.
I'm coming for you, man. I'm coming for you, man. Yeah. You're going to come on the podcast.
Oh, Doc Brown. Yeah, that would be sick.
That's
Doc
what
Brown,
I'm coming for. All That's the E&D crew, the battle rap crew, all of that shit. We're going to get all of those guys on.
I got my cousin in America, Kareem. He wants to get on here. He messaged me. I don't know what he's a stand-up comedian. So we could chat to him about that. That could be quite cool.
Kareem in the house.
We could get his views on what he thinks about Trump, you know, because he's got to live with that shit out there. That could be funny. Yeah. But yo, much love. Big up Theme.
Thank you, man.
Peace. Arms house to your mum's house. To your mum's house.